Well, this morning we have going to continue in a series of messages, the ninth one, on the character and the attributes of God. And this week I read a quote from Augustine, who said this. He said, "Can any man say enough when speaking of you?" Can any man say enough when speaking of God? Yet woe betide those who are silent about you. And each week as I look at a different attribute of God, I am amazed by the greatness of God in such a way that it makes you almost not want to say anything. You go, well, who can say enough about who God is? And yet woe betide me if I don't say something about the greatness of our God. And so this morning we want to look at the power of God, or God's omnipotence. Omnipotent, omni, the word means all, and potent, power. God has all power. God is almighty. And we could look throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and we would see a testimony to the fact that God is almighty. In Genesis 18:14, God asks Abraham, while he is 99 years old and Sarah is 74, and they've been expecting a child for almost 25 years. And Sarah laughs when God says that she will have a child. And God says to Abraham, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" And you get to the end of your Bible in Revelation 19:6, and you remember the words of the Hallelujah chorus as it sings the words of the King James Bible, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And between Genesis and Revelation, in the middle of our Bible, we find the book of Psalms, and the psalmist says over and over things like this, Psalm 135:6, "Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth, in the sea and all the deeps." In Psalm 115:3, he says, "Our God is in the heavens, and he does all that he pleases." God is all-powerful. Stephen Charnock said this about the power of God: "The power of God is that ability and strength whereby he can bring to pass whatsoever he pleases, whatsoever his infinite wisdom may direct, and whatsoever the infinite purity of his will may resolve to do. As holiness is the beauty of all of God's attributes, so power is that which brings life and action to all the perfections of his divine nature. Without power, his mercy would be but a feeble pity, his promises an empty sound, his threatenings a mere scarecrow. God's power is like himself, infinite, eternal, and incomprehensible. It can neither be checked, restrained, nor frustrated by any of his creatures." God is all powerful. And this morning I want to look at a few places where God displays his power. First, that God's power is displayed in his creation. In Romans 1:20, the Apostle Paul speaks of how God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived in the things that have been made, so that people are without excuse. When they look at a world and see the world, it proclaims the power of an infinite God. Think this morning about our universe. Did you know that scientists today believe that our universe is approximately 46 billion light years across? 46 billion light years. Think about this. Light travels at approximately 300,000 kilometers per second. In the approximately 10 seconds it will take me to say this sentence, a photon of light leaving the sun has traveled about 3 million kilometers, equivalent to traveling around the Earth 75 times. The edge of the universe is 446 trillion kilometers across. And when the Bible speaks of God creating the universe, it doesn't speak of a God who is running around, exerting himself, huffing and puffing and straining. But when it begins in the book of Genesis as speaking of God creating this vast universe, he did it by speaking. It says in Psalm 33:6, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts." God created a 446 billion light year across universe without exerting any effort whatsoever. He expended no energy in doing so. When we read the Genesis account, it simply begins by saying that God said, "Let there be," and it was so. That's it, just very plain, unembellished, no long expectations explaining how God was thinking and struggling and working and laboring, but just a straightforward, easy, effortless account, as if God created the universe more easily than you and I can blink our eye. This is the power of our God. Think about the stars. The Bible in Isaiah 40:26 calls us to lift up our eyes on high and see who created these. He brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, and by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. All of the stars in the universe, 1 times 10 to the 24th power stars in the universe, God knows each one by name and called them into existence. Just to think about this for a minute, think about our sun. It is 1.4 million kilometers across. You could fit 1 million Earths inside our sun. And scientists estimate that there are stars that are 2,600 times larger than the size of our sun in the universe today. Now, our sun, if the energy from the sun was harnessed, 1 second of energy from our sun, the energy output and power would power the United States for 9 million years. Our sun, 1 second of power and energy from our sun could power the United States for 9 million years. Or someone said this, they used this illustration. If you would take all of the world's nuclear stockpile and multiply it by 7 million times and detonate it all at once, you would have the equivalent of 1 second's worth of the sun's energy. And our sun, there are stars that are 2,600 times the size of our sun. And there are 1 times 10 to the 24th power stars in the universe. And all that power God spoke into existence out of his infinite power. And he calls them out each by name as easily as we call, actually more easily than I can remember and call the names of my children. No wonder Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." That there is nothing that is too hard for a God who can speak a universe like this into existence. And so this morning, I want to ask you, are there things in your life that are causing you to be anxious? If we are children of a God like this, there may be things that we think are beyond help, beyond our remedy, beyond our explanation. But let me suggest that we spend some time gazing up at the stars, as Isaiah called us to do, and think about the infinite power of God. And then we will realize why Paul could say to the Philippians in Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to this all-powerful God." Because God in his omniscience sees everything. In his wisdom, he has a perfect plan that he can bring forth. In his omnipotence, he has power to carry out all of his plans all of the time. Daniel 4:35 says this, "He does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" This is the power of our God. But then this morning I get a phone call at the church office and we hear that Caleb Johnson has passed away, and the question comes, is not prayer powerful? The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, and they were people praying for Caleb Johnson. Where is the power of God when a young man dies like that? When a Christian young man who God is watching over and promises that he knows even the numbers of the hairs on his head, how could this happen? Can we believe in an all-powerful God in the midst of this circumstance? And as I thought about it this morning, I was reminded of a passage from Acts chapter 12. Because in Acts chapter 12, we find something there that I think may be helpful for us as we struggle with this and think about it. At the beginning of Acts chapter 12, it describes how Herod took James, the brother of John, and killed him with the sword. Here is a Christian, one of the apostles, sent out to be a witness for Christ. At the beginning of Acts chapter 12, Herod kills him. And because the people enjoyed that so much, he takes Peter and puts him in prison as well. But we find that while Peter is in prison, the church is praying for Peter. And we find that an angel comes to Peter in the night and opens the doors of the prison, opens the doors of the city, brings Peter out of jail, sets him free, and sets him on his way to continue to proclaim the gospel. So in Acts 12, we see the power of God. And surely the God who set Peter free from prison could have kept James from being killed by the hand of Herod. It is not for lack of power that that happened. And yet somehow we have to trust that God in his infinite wisdom, who numbers each one of our days, decided to take James home for reasons that we do not know and may not in our purposes understand. And yet he chose to set Peter free. He could have just as easily called Caleb out of the bed as taken him home. And somehow we have to trust that God in his power and his wisdom is working all things together for good, even when we can't understand it. And he says to us, do not be anxious about anything, but trust in my character, trust in my goodness and my power. Someone has said, let the omnipotence of God be the pillow on which we as children of God rest our heads at night, knowing that he who calls the stars by name knows our name and watches over our days. This is the power of God displayed in creation. Let us trust him. God's power was also displayed in the incarnation of his Son. In Luke 1, 34 to 37, it speaks of God's power in bringing his Son into the world in the incarnation as the Holy Spirit worked in the womb of the Virgin Mary. It says this, verse 34 of Luke chapter 1, and Mary said to the angel, how will this be? She just had announced that she's going to have a baby and she doesn't have a husband and hasn't slept with anyone. How will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month, and her with whom was called barren. And then he says this, for nothing will be impossible with God. And so God, through the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin, brings forth a baby. Surely God, who can call the universe into existence, can bring forth a baby however he chooses and brings forth his Son. And this Son comes into the world, and we see as we walk through the Gospels, one who is clothed with power from on high, Jesus who speaks and the wind and waves obey him and are calmed. Jesus who raises the dead with a word and commands demons to flee and they must run. But there's a verse in the Bible that I find most amazing when we think about the incarnation of Christ. And it comes from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, where the writer says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things and through whom he also created the world. Then he says this, he is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. The entire universe upheld by the word of the power of the Son of God. By a word he speaks and the universe is upheld. Now the book of Hebrews also says in chapter 13, 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Colossians 1, 17 says, in him all things hold together. Now here is a wonder that is bigger than our minds can comprehend. Think about this. While Jesus was nursing at the breast of his mother and suffering on the cross at Calvary, he was simultaneously upholding the universe by the word of his power. That his mother who held him was being upheld by him, the word of his power. That those who crucified him, he could have just as easily ended their life as he created an entire universe by speaking a word. The cross that he was crucified on was upheld by the word of his power. This is the power of the Son of God. And Jesus, in John 10, this one who has all power, who upholds the universe by the word of his power, says this in John 10, 28 and 29. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." When you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing that can happen to you that he is not sovereign over in his wisdom and allows to happen. You are in the safest hands in all of the universe. If Jesus can uphold the universe, surely he can uphold us. If Jesus can uphold the universe, surely he can uphold the Johnson family in this day and in the weeks to come. Jesus, who keeps the stars in the night sky and the earth in its orbit, surely he can keep you and I. Not all the armies of the world, not Satan and all his demons, not our own weakness or our wavering and flickering faith can snatch us from the hand of the one who upholds the universe by the word of his power. God's power displayed in creation, God's power displayed in the incarnation, but God's power is also displayed in salvation. You remember the words of Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," says the Apostle Paul. Why? "For it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We believe and we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ not because people have ability to come to Christ on their own, not because what we say will be necessarily welcomed by them, but we believe that when we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. It brings salvation throughout the city of Kamloops and around the world, in the jail and in our homes, because it is the power of God at work in this gospel. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Apostle Paul said, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Do you have friends that don't know the Lord? Do you have family or children or neighbors? Let us share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not trusting that they will welcome it necessarily, but that God in his power through the Spirit of God brings people to salvation through the proclamation of the gospel. Is there someone at work that you think, man, this person would never believe this? Is there a person at coffee cart you see every week and think, you know, they're never going to hear this? Someone at school that you go and you think, if I talked about Christ, they would run me out of the building. Well, the same Jesus who called Lazarus out of the tomb 4 days after he had died can take anyone who is dead in sin and bring them alive by his power as the gospel is proclaimed. 1 Thessalonians 1:4 and 6, the Apostle Paul says this, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you." Well, Paul, how do you know this? He says, "Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." So the word of God went out to the Thessalonians, and we know that God has chosen them because as that word went out, the Holy Spirit came in power and brought that word to bear, brought conviction, and brought them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That there is no one that is outside the realm, too hardened by sin, too far gone that the gospel by the power of God can't save them. If he can create a universe, he can save anyone. And the Apostle Paul is example premier in the Bible of this very thing because the Apostle Paul hated and persecuted the church. He sought to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. And his testimony in Ephesians 3:7 is this. He says, of this gospel, this powerful gospel, I was made a minister. How? According to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. He says, God came and gave me this gift of grace, working in me by the working of his power, and brought me to faith in him. Maybe there's someone here this morning. You've come and you say, you know, I can't believe this gospel. I struggle with it. I don't understand how God's Son, and God and the Son and the Spirit, maybe the Trinity, other things about God I don't get. How could Jesus come to save me? I can't believe this. Well, is your unbelief more powerful than the power of God to save? You might say, well, I can't repent. I love my life. I don't want to turn my life over to Christ. I don't want to follow Christ. Well, is your unwillingness to follow Christ greater than the power of Christ who can bring you to him and bring you along and bring you to follow him? You might say, well, I can't love God. Well, the power of the love of God is greater than your inability to love God. He can change your heart and bring you to faith in him. So call out to him. Say, God, I believe. Help my unbelief. Come and take me and save me. I'm inept to come to you, but I'd long for you to take me and draw me to yourself. If this power is true, if you exerted your power in creating the universe, you can recreate my heart. You can change my mind. You can bring me to a place where I will love and know you. Because God, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. God works in power through his gospel as it goes forth. Finally, we see the power of God at work in and on behalf of his people consistently. I love Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able, as we have seen already, to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power, his power at work within us. Now this is a stunning statement by the Apostle Paul at the end of his prayer. He says, now to him who is able, well, we see God is more than able to do far more abundantly. It's as if he's loading up. He just can't say abundantly, but far more abundantly than all we can ask or think. Now, I know many of us might be able to ask for certain things, and we come before God and we can ask for things that seem difficult. We might be able to even think of things that are even more difficult than the things that we are willing to ask for. And yet God is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think according to the power that he has at work within us. Now for me, that's the most stunning of this statement. It's not just that God's power is out here, but in the Christian, God is able to do far more abundantly and his power is at work within us. God, this one who is all power, who created the universe, all 46 billion light years of universe, has come to reside in the Christian in the person of the Holy Spirit. And he works in us with a power that it is so great that it is staggering to our minds. The Apostle Paul said that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. When Jesus told the apostles in Acts 1:8, when he was going to leave, he told them to wait in Jerusalem because he said that power would come, the Holy Spirit would come and give them power to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so God, the Holy Spirit, who is omnipotent in power, has come to live in each one of us who have come to faith in Christ. And he is working in ways and can do far more abundantly than we can even ask or imagine in our own lives. And for me, this is great news. Because we may struggle with doubt. We may struggle with unbelief. Some of us may struggle with various sins and we wonder, how are we going to overcome this? We may have people that we have trouble loving, things that we have trouble doing, and we're struggling along at work or at home, and we can know that there is one who resides in us if we are in Christ, who has all power and can do far more abundantly more than all we could even ask or think in our lives. He can give us power for sacrificial ministry. Paul says in Colossians 1:29, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." When we are serving in various ways and we become tired, go on our knees and call out to the one who lives in us, the Spirit of God, and ask him to give us power and energy for service. He gives us power to evangelize and to live boldly for Christ, so that we would be willing to face ridicule and suffering. When you struggle with evangelizing, you think, I can't speak to this person. I want to talk about Christ, and I don't have the strength within me. I'm too timid, I'm shy, I'm wondering, I'm quaking in my boots. Think of 2 Timothy 1:8, where Paul says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." By the power of God, share in suffering and spreading this gospel. Don't be ashamed of it and the testimony of it, but trust in God. Go to him and seek power from him that we might witness and tell others about him. Third, think about our church. Oftentimes, as a church, we're a church family, and there are different things that go on and struggles that happen, and we wonder, how in the world is God going to use this? How in the world is God going to take this and make it something that will impact our city and our community? And this morning, I think we must not make the mistake of looking in the mirror, must not make this mistake of looking at each other necessarily or looking at the situation, but we must look to an omnipotent God. In Revelation 3:8, in one of the letters to the church in Philadelphia, Jesus says this, "I know you have but little power." I think that's great. Jesus knows that we have little power, just like the church in Philadelphia. But the Jesus who said that we have little power has all power, and he has promised that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And finally, as we close, I want to think about God's power in our lives, and I want to think about it this way, that I believe that much of the power that is lacking in my own life and the life of the Christian church is often due to a lack of prayer. It has been said that prayer is the pipeline through which the power of God comes to the people of God. There was a story told by James Montgomery Boyce. He tells of Lawrence of Arabia, how he visited Paris after World War I with some Arab friends of his. He showed them around Paris, but what fascinated them the most was the faucet in their hotel room. They spent hours turning it off and on, and they thought it was wonderful. All they had to do was turn the handle, and they got all this water, more water than they'd ever wanted. And when the time came to leave, Lawrence came and found them in the bathroom trying to detach the faucet. And they explained, "It's very dry in Arabia and we need many faucets. If we have them, we will have all the water we want." Well, Lawrence had tried to explain that the effectiveness of the faucets lay in their connection to the pipeline. And then he says, "Friends, there is a pipeline of power. It is available through prayer. Are you connected?" The Bible says that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Not because of the man, but because of the one who is being prayed to. Because there is an all-powerful God that says, "Ask and you will receive." In James, he says, "You have not because you ask not." To his apostles who tried to cast out a demon and couldn't, Jesus said, "This one can only come out by prayer." And if we believe in an all-powerful God, and we believe in the power of prayer as God has told us, then surely we would want to access that power. We would want to come to him. When you're at home and you're struggling along with your kids to have patience, pray to God who has all power and ask him by the powerful Spirit to work within you and to help you. When you're at school and someone is ridiculing you or something is being said and you have to confront a situation that is difficult, pray to God and ask him for power. Ask him for help. When we struggle with sin and you're confronted with something that's been beating you down, pray to God and ask him to work with power in your life, because the saints of old always believed that the power of God was available through prayer. Think of the Old Testament saints, Elijah. The Bible says that Elijah and James was a man just like us, and yet he prayed and it did not rain for 3 whole years. There's power in prayer. Remember Daniel in Daniel chapter 2 when King Nebuchadnezzar had made a decree that unless the wise men of his kingdom could tell him his dream and interpret it for him, he was going to kill them all. And Daniel and his 4 friends, faced with this, got on their knees and prayed to God and asked him to give them insight not only to know the king's dream, which how could you know, to know the king's dream and to be able to interpret it. And God gave them an answer and helped him not only to know the dream but interpret their dream and save their own lives and the lives of the other wise men. You think of the New Testament church. What do we find consistently in the book of Acts? Well, in Acts 1, Pentecost, the church began with a prayer meeting in Acts 1. In Acts 2, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. In Acts chapter 4, when faced with persecution, the church got on its knees, and what happened? Verse 31 of Acts chapter 4, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with great boldness." It's as if God in his power came and shook the place and let them know, "I am here, and I am here in power. Go out now in boldness and proclaim my word. Don't worry about these idle threats of men, because the power of Almighty God is on our side." Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, had gave them a command to spread the gospel, and God would be with them. And if God is for us, who can be against us? He who gave his only Son for us all, will he not also along with him give us all things? If we have a need, if we are struggling, we need to come before Almighty God and use this great privilege that has been given to us because Jesus is before the throne of God as our great high priest. We can come and have access to God at any time, in any place. We can come before the throne of grace, and God has said we will find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And that help doesn't come from one who is impotent, but one who is omnipotent. We come before the throne of grace for any and all things, and we will, he promises, find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And God is not inept, but able. So this morning, I pray that we would go from this place just being reminded that as you go camping and you go walk along the way, look at the world around us and think that Jesus is right now upholding the universe by the word of his power. Go out and look at the stars tonight so that you can lay your head on the pillow of the omnipotence of God and not be anxious about anything. Think about the incarnation of Christ and the great power that he had, and know that Jesus is alive and well today and on the throne. And the same one who can calm the storm and the sea can work in your life in whatever way he chooses to do so. So let us trust in him. Even when the situation is like James and it seems to go all the wrong way, God can open prison doors and set people free like Peter. He can work in our lives. He does it all the time. Let us be aware of it. Let us trust in it. Let us count on him and his omnipotent power to work in us and in our church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you revealed yourself to us in your word and in your world. And your word and your world are saying that you have all power. And this would be a very scary thing if this power was placed into the hands of someone who was wicked and evil. We know that the statement says that power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely, but in you there is no corruption. For you are good, and you are merciful, and you are wise, and you work all things together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose, and you have all power to keep your promises, to keep your people. We pray that you would give us great faith in your almighty power. Help us not to waver, because your power is unfailing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.